Well, good morning, everyone. A few years ago, we as a family had the opportunity and we decided to take our kids to an all-inclusive resort in Mexico. And I want to share with you a story that happened on the way to Mexico. We were there, and we flew in, and we get in, and then Hudson and I, if you remember this, Hudson, we were standing waiting for the baggage claim, and Krista and the rest of their kids were off to the side, so they weren't kind of congested or whatever. And there was this family that was there also with us, and they were celebrating Gigi's 80th birthday. Now, which is pretty great. I know this because all of them were wearing shirts that said Gigi's 80th birthday. And they were blue and sparkly, and you could not miss them. The other reason you could not miss them is because this family was having a rough traveling day. I don't know if you've ever traveled and things have not gone kind of their way. This is clearly what is happening to them, because they are just arguing and yelling and all over the place. And it's so loud, it almost feels like a TV show that you're kind of drawn into it. Do you remember standing there, Hudson? It was very funny, because what ended up happening was they were just yelling at each other, and their kids were everywhere. I say that not as a judgy statement, that is a factual statement. I know this because rather than finding their kids, they were constantly yelling for them to come to them wherever they may have been. And at one point, one of their kids was riding the baggage cart as if it's an amusement park. And they're arguing, they're yelling, things are quite tense, and then things get a little bit worse as the mom yells to the dad. And again, we're not trying to be involved in this, but it's almost like a car accident where you're just kind of drawn to looking at it. And the mom yells at the dad a question that should never be asked in any airport ever. Where are our passports? And now I am fully engaged in whatever is happening right next to me, right? And what ends up happening is they say they have a son whose name is Walter. I know this because they've been yelling at Walter for the past 15, 20 minutes, wherever he may be. And so they can't find the passports. And the dad says to the mom, "Don't worry, I gave them to Walter." Walter, the six-year-old who was riding the amusement park baggage claim. This is who they have trusted with their passports. The guy next to me, and I'm not making this up, I couldn't. The guy next to me is also currently fully engaged because they're yelling and everything's going on. He turns to me and he's like, "Ooh, don't give those to Walter." That's what it says. I got to tell you, this just seemed to me to be the worst kind of 80th birthday party, because what ended up happening was Walter, when they finally found him after yelling at him for a while, Walter says, "I don't know where the passports are," because the dad had put them in his dinosaur backpack. And they asked Walter, "Where is the backpack?" And he said, "I don't know, I lost it a long time ago." And now the tension in this family has gone from, like, it was already like bubbling over from here to like way up there, where the mom is yelling at the dad is yelling at Walter, and Walter's just yelling at both of them. And it is an utter disaster that is happening in the baggage claim in Mexico. I bring all this up because this is what I want to talk about today. Not giving, passports to a six-year-old. I think that in general, as a rule of thumb, is not a good idea. I would not do that. Today, what I want to talk about is how easy it is, and we saw this with this family, quite publicly. It was like reality television drawn into it, right? How easy it is to let anger control us, to let anger indulge within us, to lose your self-control, to kind of just blow a gasket, whatever it might be. I want to talk about anger, wrath, and rage, and how this doesn't help us to live holy, healthy, or helpful lives. That it certainly affects that family who was in Cancun. If you're wondering, they did eventually find the passports, because you can't make this up either. On the way home, they were right next to me on the baggage claim again when we were in Canada. And what do we say? Hey, Hudson, I was like, this can't happen twice in a row. It was so funny, yeah. It was a highlight of our trip, actually. Watching this family, so. So I want to talk about anger today. I want to talk about wrath. I want to talk about how we can kind of lose control and how we can actually gain control in and through some steps. So today, if you're just brand new, we've been walking through the seven deadly sins. These are sins that are really the big categories for all sorts of stuff we face. And we've already covered in our series, we've already covered gluttony, wrath, sloth, lust, greed, envy, and pride. And today, I want to take a look, as I said, about anger. Because this is just true, is it not? We live in an angry world, do we not? Like, I mean, I don't think I need to convince you of that. I think if you go online for 5 minutes, you're going to notice it. Our world is an angry world. So I think this is important for us to talk about anger. And our whole lens throughout this whole series has not been about making people feel guilty or shame for things, but that they might find freedom from these sins. And so today, as I said, I want to talk about anger, because not only is anger in our world, we believe we can be honest in church, amen? It's not also anger within each and every one of us. I think that we all feel anger at times. I think that we all have to struggle with this. This is why I think it is a good thing for us to talk about anger here today. And so what I want to do is I want to first define what anger is and what we're talking about. Then I want to discover what does the Bible say about anger. And then lastly, I want to really focus in on how can we live free from anger so that we don't end up yelling at each other in Cancun, right, at a baggage claim. I want to talk about how we can deal with it so we can actually live healthier, wholer, and more holy lives. And so today, this is what I want to do. And I want to begin with defining what anger is, because I think there are two kinds of anger. And I want to talk about one specifically. There's the first kind of anger that is quite natural and normal. This is the kind of anger we feel when something happens to us that we don't like, that we don't want, or that we don't agree with. This can happen to us when, like, kids don't listen to us, when drivers cut us off, or when a coworker sloughs off some of their work. We get angry. This is normal and natural. That anger, first defined, the first kind, is a simply a normal response that lets us know something we want to happen isn't happening. Or to put it differently, anger is simply a normal response that lets us know something we don't want to happen is happening. That at a gut level, our first emotional responses to anger are not wrong, they are not sinful, and they are not bad. I want to be really clear with that. Our gut reactions, when we have an emotional reaction to things for anger, they are not wrong, it is not sinful, and it is not bad. But what can turn into anger and to sin is when we actually make decisions based on that anger. It's our responses to it. That anger itself isn't necessarily a sin, but how we react to that anger can be a sin. That when anger starts to control us, when it starts to direct us, when it becomes something, if I put it this way, anger can quickly become a habit in people. Has anyone noticed this before? Just people who are angry all the time? This is what we want to talk about. How do we be freed from that kind of indulging anger, that controlling anger that really ruins relationships? So today I want to talk primarily not about the emotional response of anger, but instead our actions, our choices, or reactions that come out of anger. And what I want to do is I want to explore what the scripture says about this kind of reaction or reactive anger that we can sometimes have. I want to explore the Old Testament, and then I want to explore the New Testament, and then I want to explore what Jesus says about anger. So let's begin in the Old Testament. I want to begin. We're going to take a look at a number of different verses today. I want to begin in Proverbs, where we read this. This is Proverbs 14, verse 29. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. And here in this verse, we can kind of see those two kinds of anger that I was talking about. There's the anger that is controlled, right, where we actually choose our responses, and then there's the anger that's uncontrolled. And that foolishness, it says it leads a hot temper, shows great foolishness. This is where you kind of fly off the handle to deal with things. Or you might be yelling in a Cancun, you know, Mexico, yelling, Walter, Walter, where's our passports? That kind of thing. Right? This is what this verse is talking about, that there's anger that is controlled, and then there's anger that is uncontrolled, and it leads to foolishness. It actually gets a little bit stronger in the verse of Ecclesiastes. I want to read to you Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. This is a good verse for us to just actually practice. It says this, control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. Here we see how anger is not a positive thing. It shows that people, we are foolish when we let anger control our reactions rather than actually us choosing them. And I want to be clear that when we indulge in this kind of anger that is hurtful, that is harmful, it is hurtful and harmful to relationships. Psalm 37, verse 8 says this, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to, what's it say? Harm. It only leads to harm. I think this is a really good verse for us to just meditate on for a moment, to sit with. That the author of Psalms here is really clear. Stop being angry and turn from your rage. That you're talking about that second kind of anger that I was talking about. It says, do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. I think what he's talking about here is how wrath, rage, and anger, it is destructive to our relationships. I want to be really clear with this, that wrath, rage, and anger is destructive to our relationships. And you likely already know this if you've ever met somebody who is really angry all the time. If you've ever had a really angry parent, you know that it can impact relationships. If you have a coworker who just kind of flies off the handle, you know how it can damage and hurt and become harm. And so this is really true, where the Proverbs or Psalm says, stop being angry, turn from your rage, do not lose your temper, it only leads to harm. That what he's writing is that anger tears down, it doesn't build up. Anger is destructive and damaging. Anger doesn't make anything better. It doesn't help our relationships. It certainly didn't help that family in Cancun, and it certainly doesn't help us either. Because you all know this. Has anybody ever, when they're in a fit of anger, said something that they wish they hadn't? Right? Taking something back? This is what's going on here. That's telling us that it leads to harm, that anger isn't a good thing, it isn't a holy thing, it isn't a healthy thing. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. So we read in the Old Testament, is that anger, and we're talking again about that second kind, our response to it, that when anger is indulged, it just leads to harm. Next, I want to see what Paul says in Ephesians verse 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn them there. You might not know this, but every instance of anger that comes up in the New Testament is always in the negative, that it's not healthy and it's not helpful. The most positive thing the New Testament speaks about anger is this verse in Ephesians, where it says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I want to read it also from the NRSV because I like how it puts it. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. That anger makes room for the devil. And here we can see why anger is so dangerous. We have to be careful with it. Because Paul is really, really clear that our response to anger, that emotional gut reaction we get, will either give the enemy room to maneuver in our life or to shut him out of our lives. That's why I like the NRSV where it says, do not make room for the devil. That word translated as foothold or room is actually the word topos. And what it means at its root is an opportunity or a locality for action. It's a starting place. It's a beachhead. It's like an opening in our lives. That when we let anger become an indulging thing that we continually allow in our hearts, it gives room for the space for sin and for the enemy. It gives a starting point to work within our lives. And here we can see, too, that anger is meant to be dealt with quickly. That we're not supposed to hold on to it. We're not supposed to stoke it. We're not supposed to make it worse or hotter or more. It says this really clearly. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Because anger, undealt with, gives Satan really room to move in your life. And if this language of devils or the enemy or Satan is new to you, or you might think it's archaic, this language actually really does reflect very, very well our experience of what happens in anger. Because when we get angry, we sometimes get taken over by something we can't control. This is the enemy moving in our lives. How many people have ever noticed somebody who kind of really lost it, like was out of control, and then they say things like this, like, I didn't mean to say that. That wasn't me. Or I never meant to do that. This is actually what we experience. Anger can overtake us, and we can actually lose our control. So Paul says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Next, I want to explore a little bit about what Jesus teaches. And what he's going to teach us is pretty straightforward. He's going to teach us that anger needs to be dealt with quickly, straightforwardly, and without hesitation. Listen to what he says on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Let me take a look at this. He says, you have heard your ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. If you curse someone out, you're in danger of the fires of hell. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar, he's talking about if you're going to the altar to in the temple in Israel. So if you're at that sacrifice at an altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember someone has something against you, he says, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Now, there's lots that we can take a look at in this passage and dive deeply into. But I want to just notice a few things in this passage. The first thing I want to notice is that I really believe after reading this passage, Jesus seems to take anger far more seriously than our world does. That Jesus seems to take anger far more seriously than our world does. Because for our world, anger often actually isn't a problem. You know what our world often does? They equate anger with strength. Have you ever seen that before? Anger with strength. That really our tough people are angry people. The problem with that is that Jesus deeply disagrees. That real truth and maturity and what following Christ looks like is not someone controlled by anger, it's someone who can actually control their anger. And our world has got it backwards. Our world thinks that strength is being angry. And I don't mean to prove this to you, but it's super easy to see right now with all that's going on in the world. Have you ever watched politicians speak in the past few weeks? Right? It's almost like anger is the fuel for what's being made for decisions. This is really, 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 really bad. It's really, really challenging. And it's not what Jesus wants. that he does not equate anger with strength. He equates anger as something that needs to be dealt with. So let's dive into this a little bit more. He says this. He says, you've heard that our ancestors were told you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, if you're even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. That here, for Jesus, anger is as serious as murder. And here's why. Because they both destroy relationships. They both destroy lives. They both stop reconciliation before it can happen. That when you're seething with anger, when you're allowing it to control you, you don't want to fix things, you don't want to make them right, you don't want to compromise and find a way forward. Instead, you want to make the other person pay. That anger, what it does is it stops reconciliation in its tracks. Anger breaks relationships, and it steals life from you. And while in our culture, we may think that anger is a minor thing, it's no big deal. For Jesus, it is a big deal, and it's something to be dealt with quickly and right away. That's what he teaches us. And then he gets really clear in verse 22. He says this, if you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. I want to explain what this means a little bit more, because I think that word idiot is actually a bad translation, right? Because I don't think that that's actually helpful for us. The other day I actually said to Hudson, you're being an idiot. And I don't think I am guilty of what this verse is talking about. Right, so I want to explain it to you, that the word idiot that's translated there, the word is actually raka in Aramaic, okay? And what this word is used to express contempt and hate for people. The word is actually thought to come from the sound you make in your throat just before you spit on someone. That's where this word comes from. This is the kind of contempt that this word is trying to explain. That this word is really about cutting out relationships. You want to use these kind of raka words. They kill relationships, they break someone down, and they destroy people. So Jesus says you can't use that kind of word. For us in today's culture, I think really what would be a better translation what he's referring to is often the slurs that people might use around people's sexuality, gender, ethnicity, race, cultural heritage, or socioeconomic status. That these words can make, that we say sometimes, can make sure that we want to cut people down. This is what Jesus says. If you do that kind of thing, you are in danger of being brought before the court. So Jesus wants to make clear here that this kind of anger, this kind of hate, has no place in his followers. Let me be really, really clear with this. This type of anger, this type of hate, has no place in his followers. Okay? That murder and anger aren't the same thing, obviously. But what he's teaching is that they come from the same root, a desire to destroy someone. And so Jesus says, if you want to be part of my kingdom, if you want to live in my ways, then you need to get rid of anger. And he teaches we need to do it like right away, and that's a very serious thing. Listen to what he says in verse 23. He says, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. That's what he says really directly. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifices to God. But Jesus is teaching something really, really clear here. He's teaching that you cannot be reconciled to God while still harboring hate and hurt and anger in your heart. That's what he's teaching. You cannot be reconciled with God while still harboring anger and hate at your neighbor. Jesus says, if you notice that you are actually have some anger within you, go and deal with that. Go and be reconciled. He's just really clear. We need to actually go and be reconciled with those around us. And what he teaches really clearly, which is shocking in some ways, he says that all the religious rites in the world don't matter as much as your relationship with others. So he's teaching. So if you're doing the most religious thing, bringing a sacrifice to an altar, and you realize that you are angry, leave all that and go and fix the relationship. That's what he teaches. Leave it there and go and be reconciled to that person. I think what Jesus is really teaching here in the New Testament is really clear, that anger, wrath, and rage, all of that stuff, it isn't holy, healthy, or helping anyone. And he says we need to deal with it. Because as Paul and Jesus would say, if we don't, it actually can become a habit. And it will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow. And it's almost like it'll be there just below the surface all the time. I'm not sure if you've ever met someone who is angry all the time. Anybody ever met someone like that? They've been holding on to things for sometimes weeks, days, years even, and it just will erupt at any single point. Jesus says this is not the way to live. This is not the way of his kingdom. The way of his kingdom is to go and be reconciled, to go and to fix those things that are broken, those broken relationships, that when we have anger, we need to deal with it rather than letting it control us. So what does this mean for us all here today? Well, today I hope we notice three different things. That first, anger as a gut emotional reaction isn't wrong or sinful, but what we do out of that anger can be wrong and sinful. Secondly, I hope you see how destructive anger is, how it can burn bridges, and it can kill relationships, and it gives the enemy a foothold in our life. And lastly, what I hope you can see is that we're called to live differently than the world around us with anger. I think our world is such an angry, angry place. And what we need is actually some peace and some faithfulness and some gentleness and some kindness. We need this in our world. I don't know if you noticed, but anger is not a fruit of the Spirit, actually. And what the fruit of the Spirit are, kindness, gentleness, peace, this is what we need in our lives. This is how we're actually called to live. That one of the fruit of the Spirit is actually self-control. If you want to know if somebody's mature in their faith, mature in Christ, they need to have self-control. That's how they should be seeing, right? Because of the fruit of the Spirit. So today, what is my main point? My main point is really simple. It's that we need to get rid of anger, wrath, and rage in our hearts, homes, and lives. We need to get rid of this junk. We need to deal with it. We can't hold on to it. We need to be freed from it. Otherwise, we can end up like that family who is having an awful time at Gigi's 80th birthday party. Right? We don't want to be in that space. We know how it can hurt and harm, so we need to live differently. We need to get rid of it. We need to take the time and the effort to root out the anger and to build relationships and to be reconciled. But what does this mean practically? That you didn't come today just to kind of learn a new Aramaic word with raka, but you did, which is great. But what does it mean personally and practically? Well, today I want to give us 3 steps to deal with anger and to deal with this so that we might actually live freed from this kind of controlling anger that hurts and harms and is part of our world and it can be a part of our lives. I want to give you 3 things to do. I want to invite you to name it, to pray about it, and thirdly, to deal with it. So first, I want to invite you to name why you're feeling angry. To name why you're feeling angry. And this might seem like a silly first step or an easy first step, because often when you're angry, you know exactly why you're angry. You're angry because your kids won't go to bed, or somebody cut you off, or you lost a dinosaur backpack in Mexico. These are all legitimate reasons to be angry. Right? Usually, it's very obvious why we want to be angry. What I want to suggest to you is that we often name the symptom, but not the root of our anger. We often name, like, the thing, so like, oh, the house isn't clean, or, you know, you haven't done what I've asked, but not the real root of things. And so what I want to invite you to do is to actually discern when you're angry the real reason that you are upset. That with that family in Cancun, when Walter lost the passports, that poor dad might have been angry, maybe because he was embarrassed that he gave the passports to Walter. Maybe he felt some shame at the decision. Maybe he actually was just having a bad day, or he'd been harboring hurts for a long time. Naming the real reason is tough. It's a tough reason. It's a tough thing sometimes to do to discern why we're really angry. That if I get upset with our kids and their clean room or not so clean room,
it's always clean on my side.
It's always clean on my side, he says. I can look, yeah. If you didn't hear that, he said it's always clean on my side because he shares a room with his brother Asher. So this was a real family moment that we will debrief at lunch. This is what's going to happen. What was I talking about? I was talking about anger. And if I get upset, maybe even right now, just joking. If I get upset with the kids, it's often not about the thing, but something else, right? Maybe it's when I get upset about the room being cleaned or not. Maybe it's because I feel overwhelmed when the house is messy. Or when I see the room not cleaned, I recognize that maybe the real reason I'm upset is because now I have more work to do. Or maybe the real reason I was upset with the room is because I was already angry because of something that happened at work. Right? Like there's usually a deeper reason for why we're angry than just the thing in front of us. And I want to invite you that if you're going to deal with anger, one of the things to do is to actually work hard at naming, why am I actually angry about this? Is it because I just feel disrespected in this moment? Is it because I was hoping for something else to happen? Is it because I was not listening? Or well, there are lots of different reasons that go on. I want to invite you to think through the deeper reason for why you're angry. So first, I want to invite you to pray about it, to name it. Secondly, I want to invite you to pray about it, to pray about your anger. I want to give you a prayer to pray right here and right now, that when you get angry, here's what I want to invite you to pray instead of lashing out, to pray a simple prayer like this. Holy Spirit, fill me with your self-control, peace, gentleness, and kindness. This is a prayer I want to invite you to pray when you get angry. Holy Spirit, fill me with your peace, self-control, gentleness, and kindness. And this prayer might sound familiar to you, because really what I took it from is simply from the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5. I want to read to you what Paul says in Galatians 5. He says this, When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. He's going to list a bunch of junk that should not be a part of our hearts that we need to get rid of. He says sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, listen to this, hostility and quarreling. Like, that's anger. That's what that is. Hostility and quarreling, jealousy, even names it, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. He says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that living that kind of way, living that sort of life, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what's the last one? Self-control. Self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is what you should look for, actually, in leaders. Self-control is what you should look for in those who are mature in faith, that this is what is actually should be a part of our lives. And he ends and he says, there is no law against these things. So what I want to invite you to do is to seek to take time to name the real reason you're upset, and then to pray a prayer simply like this, like, Holy Spirit, fill me with your self-control, peace, gentleness, and kindness. To allow the Spirit to do a work in your life. Because if we're really going to get rid of anger from our hearts, it's not going to be from our own strength. It's going to be from the strength of the Spirit that lives and breathes and works within us. So invite the Spirit to be more a part of your life. So I want to invite you to deal with it, to pray with it, pray about it, and lastly, to deal with it. But Jesus here, I think, is quite clear in his passage that the way we deal with anger is by practicing forgiveness and reconciliation quickly. That's the last step. That we need to get in the habit of dealing with anger by practicing forgiveness and reconciliation quickly. I think this is what Jesus teaches, where he says, really, just go be reconciled. Go as fast as you can and make amends as you can. That having an ongoing feud in our hearts is not healthy, and it's not a good habit. Anger usually likes to stick around within our hearts. And so Jesus says we need to deal with it. So first, we can practice forgiveness and reconciliation wherever possible. I want to remind you, when I say we can practice forgiveness, then when I say forgiveness, forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not living without boundaries. Forgiveness is choosing to give something over to God. And so I think we need to practice forgiveness, and then we need to practice reconciliation wherever we can. I say wherever we can because reconciliation is a two-way street, and we don't have control over another person, but we should be seeking to actually to get rid of that anger and to make amends and to reconcile as quickly as possible. This is what Jesus is teaching. And that even if reconciliation isn't an option, we always have that option of practicing forgiveness, and that's what we're called to do. So how do we deal with anger? You deal with it by naming, praying, and then dealing with it, by practicing forgiveness and reconciliation, as I said, wherever possible. So what does this mean for us all here today, other than you learned about Walter and his backpack? What does this mean for us here today? Well, today, my main point is that we simply need to get rid of anger, wrath, and rage in our lives. It is not healthy, it is not holy, and it isn't helpful. Remember, as Psalm says, it leads to harm. It just leads to hurting people. So we need to learn to deal with it. And how do we deal with it? We deal with it by naming, praying, and reconciling wherever possible. So what's my challenge this week? My challenge is to live free from wrath, from this rage that can be a part of our hearts, this week by practicing naming, praying, and reconciling wherever possible. And I would just say this as your pastor, just directful with all of this. If, as I've been talking, there's somebody that you keep picturing, that's probably someone you need to actually make some amends with, or to make some of this work with, or to make some reconciliation with. That sometimes the Spirit brings some people to mind as we talk, and if there is that person, I want to invite you to seek to practice reconciliation wherever possible, so that we don't give the enemy any room to move in our lives, so that we might live free with the Spirit guiding our lives, so that we might not lose it at an airport while traveling or wherever we might be, that we might live differently in this angry world by being people who practice self-control. So I want to invite you into that this week. And so as always, let us pray to close our services here today. Let's pray. God, I pray, would you help us to truly live free from anger that can so often become a habit, ruining relationships and friendships? Would you help us to learn to name the real reasons why we are angry and to have more fruit of a Spirit in our lives? Would you give us the strength to practice self-control, patience, peace, kindness, and especially gentleness this week? Might we show that in our lives? Would you help us to control our anger and to walk in the ways of the Spirit with peace and hope? Would you be with us this week? And I pray this all in the wonderful name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. And if anger has perhaps become something that is a bit of a habit for you, something that you need to deal with, I want to remind you that we have amazing support and recovery programs that happen on Thursday nights for us to be able to deal with things like that. And so that would be a great place to be able to connect. So I want to remind you of that. And so just before we close, I want to invite you to pray the prayer of confession to close our services here together. So it's going to come up on the screen, and I invite you to pray it with us here together. We pray this. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. And just before I let you go, just to make a few reminders that Easter is this weekend, and so we have a number of services that are happening. I want to invite you to make sure you're here for them. We have Good Friday services at 9 and 10:30, and then we have Easter services starting at 6 a.m. if anyone wants to join with us for our sunrise service. I will be really, really clear with this. This is my favorite service of the year, the sunrise service. It's amazing. It's outside. You can bring a chair, and we'll watch the sunrise come up behind us, unless there's clouds, and then we'll just, you know, be thankful anyway, because it's Easter, right? And then we have Easter services at 9 and 10:30, so I hope to see you at one of those services as they are coming up. As always, I want to invite you to stand for a closing benediction here today. And my benediction is simply from Galatians 5. We read this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May you live that way this week. And as always, if you have any need whatsoever, there are people in our prayer room off to my left to be more than willing to meet with you and to pray with you. If you're new and want to get connected, please go to our Welcome Center. And if you'd like to support us financially, that would be amazing. You can go to our big green give wall for more information on how you can do that. Other than that, I hope to see you back here at Easter. And as always, grace and peace. We'll see you all then. Bye-bye.